future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We've had a phenomenal week here at SVK Crypto. We'll get into what we've been up to in a second. I want to say a big thank you once again to all of our new listeners. We're blown away each and every day by how many subscribers we are getting. It's phenomenal. So I want to say a big thank you to everyone that subscribed. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. So in today's episodes, we're going to be speaking about blockchain and the use of blockchain for politics and how that's going to happen in our view. Before doing so, we had a great internal conversation today, a kind of a week summary of what's been going down in the market, what's been happening, and really what's been going on with the underlying tech and what we're currently seeing. So what I wanted to do is use some of that audio for today's podcast. We're going to jump in to what Oliver Mayer, our in-house blockchain analyst, is saying regarding Scatter and the new developments that are happening over there. Hope you enjoy.
Scatter, right?
Yeah,
so Scatter's been a web extension for a long time in Chrome. The problem with web extensions is that they're really insecure. When people update them, when the publisher updates it, it doesn't let the user have a choice of whether to update it or not, which means that, you know, if there's security flaws that someone wants to, if a developer was malicious, they could update it, get access to your private keys, and, you know, then your account is not secure anymore. So web extensions have been the way that we've been accessing decentralized applications for the entire time. It was started with MetaMask on Ethereum, now it's Scatter, which means that you can only access apps through the web, okay? Which, right. There's a whole suite of applications out there, gaming, you know, trading platforms that run natively on your system.
Yeah.
What he's done now, that's called Scatter Classic. He's now created a...
Who's he?
Nathan James is the guy behind Scatter who created this wallet. So now they've created the Scatter Desktop, which is really revolutionary, because what it's enabling EOS apps to do now is to have native apps that are like actual Mac OS apps connect through to the Scatter Desktop, right? And you basically give permission to the Scatter Desktop, and it then gives the private keys over to the app without the app ever actually getting control of them, okay? And so, you know, when you have a web extension, you can have like pop-up saying, yeah, you're logged in, but those can be easily faked by the website itself. This system's so much more secure. It connects to web, it connects to desktop, and he's also created now mobile. So you basically have the opportunity to play a first time, a real time strategy game on EOS, connect that game to your account and play natively. Whereas before you'd have to like have the wallet would have the dApps in it. I don't know if you've ever seen a wallet on EOS and it has all these dApps in it.
You have to go into the wallet in order
to play the game. The reason why they do that is so that the key authentication is secure. It's within the same app. But because it doesn't run natively, the performance sucks and the experience sucks. Whereas what Nathan James has done with this new version of Scatter Desktop is allow people to create native applications.
Oliver then starts to talk about how you could use Scatter and how it works behind the scenes.
Download Scatter Desktop, set it up on your computer. Once you've done that, there's actually an application called EOS Desktop now. EOS Desktop runs in your Mac as an actual application. It lets you get on CoinMarketCap, all of the wallets, all of the block explorers, all in one nice application, and that connects through. It's the first thing that they've launched, and it connects through to Scatter Desktop.
We then have one of our other blockchain analysts, Mr. Michael Hart, come in to tell us what else is going down in the EOS community at this current point in time.
Yeah. Okay, what else has going on with the EOS?
They released the D-Goods, that was Cyberglass, Rob Finch, and Mythical Games. So it's a few of the top game the apps and a few block producers to work that together, but it's a non-fungible token standard for EOS, so it's basically the equivalent of the Ethereum non-fungible token standard, so it's pretty big for the use in like tickets or any digital asset in games. They can use this standard now to basically trade them assets, and it's a new type of token.
We believe this to be extremely valuable Because if you look at what happened with CryptoKitties, and they were backed by Andreessen Horowitz and many other large venture funds for the idea that they could tokenize digital collectibles, right? Like they could actually make that happen, which is something we then started talking about and the importance of that as well. Another key part I really wanted to take out of this internal meeting was our views on protocols at this current point in time. And we were talking about private versus non-private blockchains. So here's a listen.
You know, like realistically, like,
things that the performance wouldn't be as good, like if it's private, or would you
there'll be a lack of performance because the BPs aren't incentivized? Or?
No, that'd be a bit more performant. It'd be more performant.
This is the thing
with private blockchains. It doesn't actually make any sense to do one, because what will happen is if you have like four different companies, they'll come together, they'll create an entity so they can decide on the direction of the private blockchain. Okay, we're going to make this change. Everyone agrees on it. Okay, we make the change. But when you make the change, everyone has to do it individually. So everyone has to go to their own nodes and make these changes, right? Whereas in a distributed database, basically the same thing happens. People come together, they say, how should we make this change? Okay, we all agree. And then we'll master database, they make the change, and it propagates to everywhere else. So it's the exact same thing as a distributed database, but with more complexity, because you have to rely on everyone
making that change. So it's interesting. I mean, we did talk a little bit further about private versus non-private blockchains, and I'm going to do more of a deep dive next week on that. So with that in mind, let's get into today's episode and talk about politics and blockchain. All right. So Georgians know what it's like to have their land stolen from them. The small nation of Caucasus, with a population of just under 4 million, gained independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. But in 2008, under the pretext of supporting separatist movements, Russia invaded from the north, seizing control of several Georgian territories, South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Russia still occupies both, and in July, Russian troops angst yet more Georgian land in what Georgian President Georgia Mogorovsky called creeping occupation. This is perhaps why government in Tbilisi, under the leadership of Justice Minister T. Talakasu, decided to make Georgia the first country in the world to use a blockchain to protect its land registry system. So how does this all relate? So the Georgian Land Registry is one of the first examples of blockchain being used in this way. The registry worked for a blockchain development company called Bitfury to create a private blockchain on a custom platform called Exonum. Because of the security of a blockchain is a direct function of its size, Bitfury came up with a clever new idea, the entire Georgia blockchain. Every few moments is automatically backed up to the Bitcoin blockchain itself. That's important, and the reason why is because a blockchain with 1,000 or so computers on it, such as the Georgian Land Registry, but theoretically also a hospital patient database, electoral roll, or anything else that you could think of, is much more secure than holding the database on a single server. As is the norm today, because attackers would have to breach each atomized unit of data separately. If someone breaks into that server, then they have the access to the whole database. As the UK's National Health Service found out its horror early in 2017, dozens of hospitals across the country fell victim to an attack using a notorious virus called WannaCry, which locked them out of their computer networks and demanded a hefty ransom to give back their data. North Korean hackers were later found to have been behind the attack. But by anchoring the smaller private blockchain to the behemoth Bitcoin blockchain, which has millions of nodes and unbelievable amounts of computer power maintaining its integrity, the database becomes even more immutable. And this is really interesting. So at a blockchain summit in 2016, according to Bitfury's senior communications manager, Rachel Pepin, the former prime minister of Haiti, said, with regard to rebuilding the country after the catastrophic 2010 earthquake, that the first building to get hit and collapse was the building of the public record. So every piece of paper which said who owned what was gone in a flash. Wow, that's scary. On blockchain, no matter what building would be lost, every record would be absolutely secure. So the next step, according to Marie Kazadi, head of International Relations Unit at Georgia's National Agency of Public Registry, is to add the ability to incorporate smart contracts onto the blockchain itself so that a Georgian citizen would be able to sell or buy land directly and instantaneously using an app on their phone. Is it at the same time infinitely more secure and requires infinitely less bureaucracy? So here's where I'm at. I think it's super important that blockchain, you know, does get embedded into countries, and every country, you know, with a certain amount of time frame, that will use the benefits of blockchain for the voting, land registry, and all the other great applications that blockchain has. Absolutely. And I think it'll be really interesting to see the adoption rate. And, you know, if you look back to smaller countries with regards to regulation and kind of crypto-friendly places, it's normally smaller countries by GDP or, you know, however you want to judge a small country, but it's normally the smaller ones who move quicker, right? So you saw Malta move super quick on, you know, blockchain, making them that, trying to make them a hub for blockchain. Really friendly because they can pivot quick. If you look at big countries like the UK or the US, like, it's slow. It's a big corporation. It's not quick. There isn't, you know, four or five people running the show. There's thousands of people, and it needs to get signed off. Then it needs to be debated. And it's just like a long, 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 long process. But guess what? That's got the best ROI, and it's got the best return for everyone. So that's what we need to focus our energy and time on. But smaller countries having this breakthrough and having the benefits of it help bigger countries see the benefits of blockchain. I'm absolutely certain of that. And what we're seeing here in the UK is more and more MPs becoming aware of blockchain, speaking at events, becoming more immersed in an understanding of it as well, which is great to see. Actually, at the London Blockchain Week, which is coming up soon, we have a few MPs who are going to be speaking there, which is a great sign. So listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. If you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto Podcast. You can email myself at cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y at svkcrypto.com. Feel free to hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd. I'm at there, the whole team's active there, and the community is active there as well. So listen, if you're not in it, you're out. Get in. That's the best thing you're going to do all day, guaranteed. Let's go. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.